On Point, hosted by Peter Van Aartrijk. Conversations with interesting and informative experts on technology, branding, culture, social media marketing, and other great topics.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Peter Van Aartrijk, your host for On Point, brought to you by our good friends at Wells Media, which includes Carrier Management, Insurance Journal, and other fine publications. Our guest today is Ido Deutsch, who's head of growth at Agentero.com. And you can go there, agent as an independent agent, ERO.com. Welcome, Ido.
Thanks, Peter. Thanks for having me. It's great being here.
Yeah, and so a few weeks back, you were presenting at an Agents Council for Technology webcast. And so I want to go over some of that material again for our listeners. If folks want to see the webcast and see some of the material that Ido presented, just go to iiaba.net and click on ACT and click on webinars, and you can find Ido's presentation there. It was really interesting. And you know, the thing about this material, Ido, is just so simple. It's just so simple, and I like simplicity. It's like the ultimate in elegance. I think Leonardo da Vinci said that, or the ultimate in sophistication is simplicity, or something like that. But I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, because we're going to dive into this topic of why people focus more on new business at the expense of existing customers. But first, let me give you an opportunity to talk a little bit about your background, how you got to Agentero, and what it's all about.
Yeah, thanks, Peter. Really good topic to talk about. I think a lot of agents would benefit out of some of those conversations. So about my background, I'm originally from Israel. So up front out there, the accent and the messed up words. That's what I have to live with. My whole life I was an entrepreneur. So I have founded three companies in the past, exited successfully from two of them. And then I moved to the US for business school. So I moved to Berkeley, California, went to Haas Business School. And then this is where I met Luis Spino, who is now the founder of Agentero. So I met him through business school, and then he actually dropped out after the first semester, because he managed to get this idea off the ground and get this going and get some funding. When he started getting some traction, he, you know, needed someone to help him grow the company, and we had a really good relationship, and he knew about my past experience and, you know, the entrepreneurship and how to grow businesses. So I've joined the company as employee number four, and since then, you know, we're running together, and it's been a wonderful journey so far.
So what does Agentero do?
Yeah, so we help independent insurance agents modernize their agency. We call it, you know, take control over the future. We are doing that in multiple ways, but you know, the main theme is looking at the industry of independent agents and trying to figure out how they can stay relevant and keep grow their businesses. And we believe that they have a lot of advantage and unique value proposition in the industry. So we are trying to help them grow their agencies. The way we do it is with a lot of technology and helping them understand their data better, and then also connecting them to the insurtechs out there and trying to simplify a lot of their processes.
Okay. So, and are you working exclusively with independent agents?
Yeah, at the moment we are focusing on independent agents, various sizes, but we believe, you know, so the captive agencies, the mothership generally gives them a lot of solutions and taking care of them pretty well. And then for independents, they have to figure out everything on their own. I am an entrepreneur. I know how difficult it is. So, you know, I think we believe that part of the lag in independent agents, leveraging technology and making more sense of their data, relies on that. They need to make those decisions on themselves and don't have a lot of support to go through those decisions. So we are really trying to help them go through those stages.
Okay. Well, we know that independent agents are very good at building relationships, and your presentation was about this concept of churn, the danger of churn. So, it's interesting how salespeople are so focused on, new business. Let's get some new clients. Let's prospect new clients. And what your data is showing is that there's a cost to that when you're focused on new, right?
Yeah. So, I think it's the nature of business. When you start a business, you just want to get new clients. And when you think about growth, you think about sales, and generally sales translates to new businesses, to new business come through the door. But, when you have your whole mindset focused on new business, you neglect the part that actually needs to keep staying there and grow, which is your existing clients. And this is the cost, right? Like when you have everything focused on new business and you don't make it a strategic effort in the agency to focus on existing clients, reducing the churn, even increasing the number of policies per client, then the cost is that you end up with some sort of a leaky bucket, because you bring in, let's say 100 new clients this quarter, but then you lost 50 out of, when they haven't renewed their policies, and your growth is not 100, it's just 50. And agents generally don't pay enough attention to those 50 that leave and just, attribute that to just, this is how insurance is. You'll have your renewal rates, and they don't do a lot of work to make it favorable for them. And that, it's not that hard. You just need to figure out, build the processes and have the tools in place to do it. So, this is where we are trying to.
Right. So is it fair to say then, because I think you used an example, if an agency had gross growth of revenue growth of 16.6% and 8.4% is offset by churning. So you have a net growth of 8.2%. I mean, that's dramatic impact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Right. Agencies are spending so much effort and time and money, right, and headcount on just getting more business, and they, building those community relationships and buying more leads, and everything that I'm hearing from agents, and we are talking to a lot of agents, everything that I'm hearing from agents is about this top line, top of funnel, let's get more new business. And it's very few of those agencies that, comes up with they know that they have a problem with retention, or they know that they have a problem with customers leaving. And that almost never happens. It's generally comes from us. The first question that I always ask an agency is, what's your retention rate? Yeah. And the answer there is always like, oh, it's 95%. But only then, when you start digging and asking some questions on how you measure it and how you do it, they just don't know how to do it. And they don't have the right data, they don't have the right tools, and then they leave it to chance, I would say, right, for those clients to renew their business, which doesn't happen in many cases.
Yeah, I remember I was in a discussion group one time with a group of small commercial lines customers and of an agency we were doing some work with, and I'll never forget this soundbite. He was a dry cleaner, he had a couple of dry cleaning firms in this town where the agency was, and And we were asking about the relationship and how often they should stay in touch with them and so on. He goes, I just don't want you to put me on the books and forget about me, is what he said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, it sounds so simple, as we said earlier, but yet it doesn't happen because of the focus is elsewhere. Well, where do you see, where do you see churn happen most often? When and how does this happen typically in the data you've seen?
So we have analyzed many agencies, and we generally work with their data and helping them make sense of it. So we have a lot of data and we have analyzed a lot of it. What we typically see is that the churn happens, which you can imagine, after the first year. So the first year renewal policy is not, I think it gets like 20% churn there. On the first year. So a lot of those people, when renewal comes after the first year, just cancels their policy or moving it somewhere else. Okay. But then it's interesting to see that as you go past the second and third year, the cancellation or the churn rate is slowing down, but as it gets to the fourth year, it just goes down dramatically. So if they stay with the agency for more than 3 or 4 years, then the chances of them leaving are very, very low. However, most of this churn happens at this point in time, right? The first year or two. We recommend agencies to spend a lot of time on those renewal points, making it some sort of a mandatory processes in the agency to review accounts and connect with the clients. We apart from that, we also believe that the relationship should be kept throughout the year, right? Not just upon renewal or just, when something bad happens. You should keep the relationship going. But definitely in those, before those 2 points in time, like the renewal in the first and second year, you need to pay more attention to those upcoming renewals, even if they don't just, generally agents would do it only if the rates would go up or they have risk, high risk of, they know that they're in risk of churn. Other than that, they wouldn't have this conversation. We suggest that agencies should have this conversation, even if the rates are not going up.
Okay. Yeah. And agents too often talk about cross-sell and upsell, and mm-hmm. I think your data shows that that has a tremendous impact on the cross-selling on the churn right now.
Yeah, definitely. So this is another funny way of seeing how agents are thinking about it. When they talk about cross-selling, they consider the benefit of it just the extra policy that you sell, right? So you sell another policy and you grew the new business by that much. What the data actually suggests is if you just sell another policy per client, if you manage to get your average policy count per client to more than 1.5, so more than just the monoline per client, then your retention rate improves dramatically. Basically, every additional policy per client reduces churn by 50%. So if the churn were 20% before, and you sold an average of an additional policy per client, you get it to around 10%, which again translates directly into your top line growth at the next year upon renewal.
That's interesting. So mm-hmm. when you're consulting with agents, what are the strategies they should try? It's been a while since they looked at retention. I've heard agents say, our retention's the upper 80s, low 90s. They just throw a number out. I mm-hmm. do not know if they're very confident in those numbers, but what are some things that they could be tracking? Retention per client, policies per client, limits of coverage. That's another thing you talked about, limits of coverage and the importance of that, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, definitely. I would start by saying first, before getting into those details, and I'm happy to get into those, first is just being able to track and measure this data, more often than not, I see cases where agents just don't track that. They don't have, they may have the systems in place, they don't even use them to track the data correctly. So they would throw at you this 90% or this 95% retention, but they don't really know how to measure that or have a very structured way of doing that. So I would say, before you do anything else, just make sure that you can have reports, see the data, understand your metrics, right? So this is the first thing that I always suggest. And then there are a lot of ways to break this down, and it differs between one agency to another and the focus of the agency. We see churn happens mostly on clients leaving the agency versus policies downsell or policies or just one policy leaving and not the other. So it's generally when churn happens, it happens when a client leaves the agency all in all. And so this is why we suggest, or I would suggest, looking at retention per client versus retention per policies or things of that nature. But really, it really depends on the agency and how they track. And then on lines of coverage, this is the part of the downsell or upsell. You know, agents just need to understand their book better. They need to understand their data and, you know, how it's built across the agency. A lot of agency owners think that the agency is performing the way they envisioned or the way they initially sold policies and take care of all the clients and put in the relevant limits, but it doesn't happen when you have when the agency is bigger and have more producers, which then they are generally compensated and incentivized to just sell more policies. So we suggest also measuring this retention, understanding your data, looking at that per client, but also align the incentives of your producers with those goals. Right. So if an agency set a goal to increase the limits per client, you know, have a minimum limit or increase limits per client, then have the producer's goals tied to that as well, not just for net new clients. Which again, it's the same issue that we discussed in the beginning. When you are only focused on new business, the whole agency is focused on new business. Everyone is getting compensated based on the new business they bring in and not about what they're managing to sustain for a longer period of time. So, you know, the retention that they get.
A lot of agents won't even write a single policy, and they've got the idea that, which is a good one, that we don't want to be in the transaction business. We want to be in the, counseling relationship, really helping people, consultative business. So this is why you see a lot of advertising as well from the direct response companies selling bundles. You know, we're home and auto, you save money, et cetera, et cetera. And there's different philosophies. I've heard agents too say, we'll write your car insurance the first year, but only because we really want to talk to you about the homeowner's insurance really soon, you know, so we can. There's a methodology to it. This is even more proof of the danger of taking on a single policy. But there are a lot of agencies too that are saying, you know, we don't mind transactions. They can buy online if they want. We'll make some money on it. And maybe the churn is built into. I gotta believe the churn is built into the models for direct response and some of the startup insurtechs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think the direct to consumers, direct response, they are building some sort of it. They also have the skills and budgets to manage their retention moving forward, and they on an individual level managing, you know, their policy retention the way they seem fit, and they have the tools to do it, which a lot of agents don't have. My suggestion, you know, to your prompt on, you know, should we write just this one policy versus only bundle. As you said, there are multiple ways of thinking about that, right? When a client comes to you and just, you know, wants to insure their home or their auto, and you're trying to, you know, you only sell the bundle, or you try to push too hard on the bundle, then it sometimes feels like you're not there, you know, you're not an advisor, but you're just trying to, you know, just sell more business. So there is always this delicate balance. Definitely, I would say that agents need to have more policies per client. I would say that it doesn't always have to be on the point of sale, right? My agenda, or the way we build Agentera around, is basically helping agents being more efficient on bundling, not necessarily on the point of sale, right? So that can make it, if you get the first policy easily sold, and then you manage to position yourself favorably upon the first year renewal, which is where I said most of the churn happens, then you can have the conversation about, you know, getting the other line to bundle as well. So there is always this delicate balance, and really depends on the agency. I would not, you know, if I were suggesting to an agency, I would definitely not send away those who come in for only their monoline, but I will find ways to control this relationship moving forward. So I can control the renewal, I can control the upselling, I have more information and more tools in my belt to later on expand this account.
Okay. Well, you know, if an agency says, yeah, we really need to work on a retention plan, you know, let's spend the rest of 2021 really putting our arms around customers and, you know, building, you know, let's look at growth there. Maybe one way to do this would be for them to look at their book and maybe take a chunk of customers and try something different with them, so that it's not an overwhelming project to suddenly increase everything all at once. But maybe they take a couple hundred customers and try some outreach and see what happens to the churn numbers on that on that group. Would that make sense?
It does. But you know, the thing that, again, I'm bringing Agentera into that. What we are trying to do is helping agents doing that in scale and figuring out. It's not just about this communication or the other, is about figuring out the right timing. You know, insurance is all about timing and message, right? So it's about when you come in and how you position yourself. And if you know that, you know, if you just send out, we call it sometimes spam engines, right? If you just spam your clients with a lot of emails to let's try this and let's try that, and you know, just tell them to buy more things when you don't know a lot about them. That might work, but it's not, I wouldn't do it in my agency. The way we are looking at that is we look, you know, with the availability of data today, that it's not only at the agency, but out there in the internet and the public data that you can find about every person, you can actually know, you know, holistically where this client is, right? What do they need? What is, you know, how their family looks like, which assets they own, you know, a lot of different triggers about their person, you know, their, where they live and the propensity to buy insurance. So then you can trigger specific messages at the exact right timing. So then, and you find them when they need insurance the most, right? So, you know, buying a home and buying a new home and offering life insurance. So trying to be able to, even if you're not insuring the home, giving you a trigger to know that this particular client bought a home just lately, and you can offer life insurance. So, so basically, trying to be more efficient on that. This is what we are trying to do and help agencies with. I would say as a project, agents would need to. It's not about let's just take those 600 clients and do something. It's about making it a strategic priority, and then you can find the ways to roll this down and build a plan to how to roll this down in the agency. And we are all for starting starting small and then grow and grow over time, right? So if an agency buys into the idea or the strategic decision of investing in their retention, then we can start with, let's start with a specific set of clients, maybe those that have lower limits, or maybe those that have all in the mono lines, or those that have only personal lines, right? And starts from there. Mm-hmm. So this is how we think about all those different things.
Yeah, it makes sense. There's been so much spam email out there. That sounds like a thoughtful way to do it. Well, mm-hmm. We're about out of time. Ido, I want to thank you for sharing some thoughts. Again, if anybody wants to look at the examples in a kind of a visual way that Ido walked through for a sample agency, the webcast is available, the recording at the ACT website. So Ido, thanks again for taking time, and wish you best of luck with the company.
Yeah, thanks so much, Peter. It was a pleasure chatting with you, and I hope we can meet sometime soon in person when this whole COVID thing's
settles. That would be great. Meeting in person would be great. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Have a good one.
This has been On Point with Peter Van Aartrijk, a podcast presentation of Wells Media Group.